Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. It is time for the Daily Dive for March 7th, 2024. And we start with Don Henley. We talked about his case, this criminal case where he was accusing, these booksellers, antiquity sellers, memorabilia sellers of stealing from him. You know, the hand-drafted lyrics to Hotel California and other Eagles hits. But in the middle of this trial, New York prosecutors abruptly dropped their case. Just, okay, we're done. And prosecutors agreed that defense lawyers had essentially been blindsided by 6,000 pages of communications involving Henley and his attorneys and associates. Because prosecutors and the defense got the material only in the past few days after Henley and his lawyers apparently made a decision to waive their attorney-client privilege shielding legal discussions. But those disclosures revealed relevant information that the defense should have had the opportunity to explore when Henley and other prosecution witnesses testified last month. So they had the rare books dealer Glenn Horowitz, former Rock and Roll Hall of Fame curator Craig Inciarte, and rock memorabilia seller Edward Kaczynski cleared of all the charges. They had included conspiracy to criminally possess stolen property. And remember, it was 100 pages of legal pad pages. Many from the creation of the album Hotel California. And prosecutors had said the defendants knew the page's chain of possession was shaky, but sought to keep and sell them anyway, and that they had fabricated a provenance that would pass muster with auction houses and keep Henley's demands for the return of the handwritten sheets not happening. But the defendants said, hey, we're the rightful owners of pages. They weren't stolen by anyone. So all these guys, the defendants, they said the next step is building back our reputations. And that they felt very good about the case's end. And Henley's lawyer said, oh, we're going to go to the civil courts. As the victim in this case, Mr. Henley has once again been victimized by this unjust outcome. Yeah, what about the 16-year-old who was drugged and raped? He was victimized in that? Oh. But the communications that led to the case dismissal weren't released publicly. But earlier in the week, defense lawyers had said that the documents and communications had identified additional potential witnesses and also raised questions about some testimony from Henley and others. Basically, hey, they lied. And the judge said the witnesses and the lawyers used this attorney-client privilege to hide information that they believed would be damaging and that the prosecutors were manipulated. And the prosecutors got blinded by the fame and fortune of a celebrity. And, I had said before, the defense said that Henley gave the lyrics pages to a writer who worked on that never-published Eagles biography and then later sold the handwritten sheets to Horowitz, who then sold them to the others. And everybody said, these guys are innocent. And Henley realized the pages were missing only when they showed up for sale, and he reported them stolen. And the writer, who had them wasn't ever charged with the crime, wasn't called to testify. But defense lawyers said that newly produced emails showed that Henley suspected someone else before being reminded of the decades-old book project. And then the defense said emails also indicated that some Henley lawyers and a private investigator called the page's disappearance as a burglary and didn't mention the whole book contract because they believed that referring to it as a burglary would help their cause. Staying in the legal world, let's talk about Andy Cohen. He's firing back at Liam McSweeney. And the thing he's most upset about is the whole cocaine thing. But his lawyer sent a letter to Leah. And basically, they're saying her allegation of cocaine use against Andy is false and defamatory. That's a tough one because there's a lot of people who talk about Andy Cohen and cocaine. I guess maybe the way she said it, that she was, But we have Kathy Griffin also. But his lawyer said that everything she said about Andy Cohen in the lawsuit is baseless and false. But on the cocaine claim, they write, we demand that you immediately retract and withdraw all allegations relating to Mr. Cohen's purported cocaine use. And if you don't, you're going to be sued. So to be clear, these allegations are categorically false. Mr. Cohen never used cocaine with any cast member on any Real Housewives show or with any other Bravo employee. See how specific that is? The absence of any reasonable basis to make such allegations is confirmed by your pleading itself. And they said there are no details. And that means you don't know anything concrete because it's not true. That Leah just did this because she wanted to get a quick payday. And Andy's lawyer said the truth matters. Litigation cannot be used to create fake news. It cannot be used as a vehicle to spread false and malicious lies in furtherance of a shakedown. We demand that you issue an immediate public retraction and apologize to Mr. Cohen. Every day you fail to do so only increases the damages suffered by Mr. Cohen. And Leah's lawyer told TMZ, hey, that Andy Cohen had his counsel and PR agents write a threatening letter to give to the press is hardly surprising. Mr. Cohen is accustomed to using his power in the media to scare and intimidate people like Ms. McSweeney so they will not speak out. Mr. Cohen's attempt to discredit and intimidate Ms. McSweeney to deter her from engaging in legally protected activity in court is exactly the type of retaliation that this lawsuit was brought to address and only as further evidence for Ms. McSweeney. We do not intend to litigate this matter in the press, and if Mr. Cohen wants to address Ms. McSweeney's claims, we suggest he do so in court, not in a letter for the press. You know, most of the time when you say things in court filings, you get kind of, you can say whatever you want. It's tough to, you know, sue for defamation for that kind of stuff. But Andy Cohen, a source close to him, said, of course Andy should defend himself in the public with the truth. Why should she be allowed to spew lies about his character? Well, I agree with that 10,000%. I'm not sure how I feel about a movie docuseries about Amanda Knox. I'm kind of, but Margaret Qualley's been cast as Amanda Knox. It's going to be a limited series for Hulu. They've ordered 8 one-hour episodes. The log line is based on the true story of how Knox was wrongfully convicted for the murder of her roommate, Meredith Kircher, and her 16-year odyssey to set herself free. KJ Steinberg's a writer. I mean, this is us, Gossip Girl. And Qualley's also going to executive produce. Also, an executive producer is Monica Lewinsky and Amanda Knox and Chris Robinson. I don't know. It's definitely going to come from an Amanda Knox point of view because obviously she's an executive producer and Monica Lewinsky. I would like a neutral one, maybe. Let's look at it from both sides. I don't know. I also don't know about the whole Jake Paul Mike Tyson fight. It's going to be live streamed on Netflix. And it's going to happen July 20th at AT&T Stadium in Dallas. Now, I would have liked to see it 30 years ago and see if Jake Paul could make it through the first round. But it's going to be on Netflix. It's available to all Netflix subscribers. There's going to be other fights. I'm sure that every TikToker, social media boxer is going to be wanting to be on it. And, you know, Jake Paul and Mike Tyson were on a boxing card together. Jake Paul fought on the card that had Mike Tyson fighting an exhibition match against Roy Jones Jr. in 2020. And that was when Jake Paul was fighting with former NBA player Nate Robinson. I mean, come on. And Jake Paul said he wants to be world champion. He's had 10 fights in 4 years. That is, you're never going to be a world champion if you have 10 fights in 4 years and you're fighting people like Nate Robinson and Mike Tyson. And Jake said, it's crazy to think in my second pro fight, I went viral for knocking out Nate Robinson on Mike Tyson's undercard. Now, less than 4 years later, I'm stepping up to face Tyson myself to see if I have what it takes to beat one of boxing's most notorious fighters and biggest icons. Well, speaking of biggest icons, Steve Lawrence passed away today at the age of 88. Steve and Edie, you know, Steve died at his home in L.A. Cause of death was complications from Alzheimer's. And, you know, Alzheimer's, you know, got him to stop touring back in 2019. The guy was toured for 65 years. And Edie Gourmet died back in 2013. I mean, they were together forever. I mean, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. They toured together until 2009. Now, not touring is Tyla. Tyla's postponing her upcoming 2024 world tour due to an ongoing injury. She's South African, and she took to her Instagram page today to announce the news, explain why she's canceling all the shows which are set to kick off in Oslo in about 2 weeks. And she was also going to play Coachella in April. But she said, for the past year, I've been silently suffering with an injury that has tragically worsened. I've seen doctors and specialists with high hopes, but the pain has only become more agonizing, as has the severity of the situation. I mean, I certainly hope that she feels better. I think that, you know, waiting until 2 weeks prior is kind of waiting a long time. Not that Coachella is going to have any problem filling the slot in April, but I mean, all these fans and stuff, you could have said a little bit earlier. Now, there has been some news about Harry and the judge and DHS and the whole immigration thing. So Judge Carl Nichols today told the Department of Homeland Security he wants to look at Harry's immigration file. So DHS has to hand it over to him. It doesn't mean that it's going to be made public, but he wants to see it. And he's going to review it privately before deciding whether to release it publicly or any kind of parts. And the judge said that the Department of Homeland Security's arguments were insufficiently detailed for him to make a decision. Like, you guys didn't tell me anything. So how can I make a decision? So I want to see it myself. And he also asked, declarations explaining the particular harm that would arise from the disclosure of Harry's visa application. So, I mean, it's a step towards having it revealed, but it doesn't mean we will. And as I said before, even if it is, you're not going to see the whole thing. You're just going to see redacted, redacted, redacted. And if, you know, another thing that you haven't seen, at least for the last year, is Jelly Roll's wife naked. For whatever reason, Jelly Roll's wife, Bunny XO, decided to go public and let everybody be reminded that she shut down her OnlyFans site a year ago. And she posted about this on Facebook. She goes, a year ago, I retired from the sex work industry. I was so scared to let go of that part of my life and leave behind the money I was making. Wasn't sure how I'd make up that part of my business, but I had faith and let God have it. And he made sure I made it back tenfold. Now, we all know that she was an escort. And she and Jelly Roll have both spoken about how she was the breadwinner in the relationship. And she clarified her work timeline yesterday, because everyone was like, you retired from sex work last year. You got married back in 2016. She said, I've always worked and made money on my own. When I married Jelly Roll, I refused to give up my independence and rely solely on him. And to be honest, he never once asked me, to quit. He knew how important it was to me to make my own money. But I did always say, one day, baby, you won't have to do this anymore. He said that. And then Bunny said she started her own brand, Bunny XO, in 2018, using money she'd earned from sex work. And she said, 2 years later, I moved on from being an escort. 2020 came around, I retired from seeing clients and having sugar daddies, and started my OnlyFans, which made me millions. It was crazy the amount of money that site made me in such a short time. And she said, by 2022, my Bunny XO business had taken off. And so she said, I could no longer justify still having that part of my life when the new brand I created was thriving so much. I also didn't want to be the only wife in the country music scene whose butthole was on the internet. But my husband never once asked me to give up anything in my life. So I decided to retire and 100% immerse myself into the Bunny XO brand in 2023. Best decision I ever made. The rest is history, baby. Now, Jelly Roll has talked about the start of his relationship with Bunny. And he explained that he was living out of a van. I don't know if it was down by the river. And doing shows for $100 a night when they met. He goes, I was dead broke and she just kind of took to me. And she was really making money in the sex work industry, like real money. I didn't know that existed. I didn't understand the concept. But I didn't have a problem with it. It's that high end. I'm cool with whatever. Are we satisfied with that answer about how they met? We know that there's so much more out there. Right? So much more. And so much more is combining IHOP and Applebee's. I mean, they've been doing it in certain locations, like in Mexico, Leon, Mexico. But Applebee's and IHOP, which are both owned by Dine Brands, So they're going to have like a blended front of house, share the back of the house. And they've tested it, like I said, on 8 prototypes internationally, including in Mexico. And the CEO said it's a compelling opportunity for further growth. We'll continue to monitor the success of this test concept, and we'll consider options for further expansion in the U.S. in select locations if and when it makes sense to do so. And he said that the restaurants, like the hybrids, will have discrete entrances that allow guests to flow between Applebee's and IHOP. At breakfast, when they're more IHOP customers, customers can be seated in the Applebee's area and vice versa at dinner. What's interesting to me, and I know this is just, they're two totally different kind of concepts. And Applebee's, you know, always have a liquor license. IHOP's don't. And so how's that going to work? So I guess they'll make the liquor license available for both because they said there's going to be overflow. And they also have completely different kind of seating concepts and designs and aesthetics. They're completely different dining experiences. And is the Applebee's part still just going to be open, like, say, for starting a lunch? And then what happens to, you know, because IHOP does have offerings that aren't just breakfast. So are they going to give up serving, you know, lunches and dinners and just shuffle everybody over to Applebee's? So then is IHOP just going to be like a part-time restaurant? I don't know. He says that they perform well because they address all 4 day parts and that they're making twice as much money as the traditional standalone Applebee's and IHOP locations. They're not the first person to do it. I mean, Focus Brands owns like Auntie Anne's, Carvel, Cinnabon, Jamba, Schlotzky's. Oh, God, I love a Schlotzky sandwich. And so they share spaces, but that's a different kind of thing. That's like, okay, do you want to have the pretzel or do you want to have ice cream? Do you want to have Cinnabon? Do you want to have Jamba? You know, I don't know. I'd just be curious to see how it worked. I don't feel like it would work really well. But apparently it is in Mexico and international locations. Now, what doesn't work well is a high school fundraiser that says, you know how we're going to fundraise for this high school? We are going to have our students lick peanut butter off the toes of other students. And that's basically what happened. There's a video showing Oklahoma students licking toes at a recent high school fundraising event. A state superintendent called the depicted act disgusting. I agree. You can see these students, and they appear to be licking peanut butter off the toes at an event at Deer Creek High School in Edmond, Oklahoma. And the event raised money for the nonprofit coffee company Not Your Average Joe. And a parent said that she was stunned when her daughter told her about the event. She said, wait, what? They're licking peanut butter off of toes? What? And the mom said, I'm all for fundraising and all for really fun and silly things, but that right there just seems a little excessive. And it does seem very excessive. Blind item reveals for today. Number 1's from February 28th. Too bad the singer's attorney bailed on the deposition he was supposed to take of one of the members of her former business team. He could have asked her about wiring money to sex workers for the rapper/groomer. And that's Britney Spears, Matthew Rosengart, Robin Greenhill, and Sean Combs. Number 2 is from February 29th. It isn't like he hasn't been photographing his mother naked for a decade, so of course he could direct her in a sex scene pretty easily. And that's Elizabeth Hurley and Damien Hurley. Number 3 is from February 29th. When you basically admit the product you've been shilling and getting paid to shill for a very long time doesn't actually work, then you know you're getting the boot. The one named permanent A-list celebrity doesn't care. The company she's leaving won't be able to stay in business much longer. And that's Oprah and Weight Watchers. Number 4 is from February 29th. I really hope the one named rapper got paid 8 figures for doing all that jail time for the wannabe rapper/producer. What this also means is that the A-list celebrity, everything in her mind, is in on the lie. And that's Shine, Sean Combs, and Jennifer Lopez. And number 5 is from February 29th. This former A-plus list rapper wants his oldest child to live with him. He doesn't care about the others. And that is Kanye West. And that is it for this one. I will talk to you guys later.